Welcome to chapter 3, and in chapter 3 we will talk about what you may say is a very naive or a very stupid question as well. Why e-commerce? Why e-commerce is important from a global perspective? Why e-commerce is important from an Indian perspective? Now, as somebody part of a newer generation who's always been on the internet generation as we talk about, and as you go about buying products and services online, as I said, this may sound like a very naive question, why e-commerce, right? Because that's the way we live, right? We buy online, we sell online, and seems to be the most convenient, easy way to reach to customers and maybe contact buyers. But still, it's a good question to understand and to discuss, why e-commerce, right? Like, why is the world moving more and more towards e-commerce? Why is e-commerce important? So if you talk about why e-commerce sector is so important from the global perspective, now first of all, e-commerce is and has been a remarkable source of competitive advantage for businesses and a new space for consumers, and it has the potential to fuel economic growth. Now, why is it a competitive advantage? Now, if you go back to the pre-internet era, right, even 1980s or 1990s, when e-commerce was not big, right, even today, e-commerce globally has a market share of about 17%. Countries like China has 23%, India has about 2.2%. So globally, it's still way, way behind physical commerce or brick and mortar stores when it comes to the sheer size of sales volume, but it's growing, right? It is growing year on year. Now, why is it important from a point of competitive advantage? Now, suppose if you are a company in India, for example, and you want to sell to somebody outside India, or even if you are a company in, say, Mumbai, and if you want to sell to somebody in Bengaluru or in Delhi, in the physical world, it's not that easy. There are a lot of capital expenditures involved. You need a lot of resources. Let's even shorten the entire geography for the example. Suppose if I'm in Mumbai, if I'm in South Mumbai, and I want to sell to somebody in Navi Mumbai, right? If I manufacture apparel, now apparel is one of the fastest and largest selling categories online in India. Let's say if I am manufacturing custom designed t-shirts and I have a physical store in Bandra and I want to sell to people outside Bandra, I want to sell to somebody living in New Bombay, for example. And if I'm only a physical store, I don't sell online, I don't have an online presence, how do I compete with a similar business who has a physical presence in New Bombay? Right? It's difficult for me to reach the buyer, for the buyer to reach me, see my products, place orders. It's difficult. So for me to take advantage of potential buyers who are not in close proximity to my business, it becomes difficult. But online ends those barriers. There are no barriers. Whether you are in Mumbai or Delhi or Bengaluru or Vietnam or Bangladesh or Europe, you could sell to that same customer living and residing in Navi Mumbai, right? Because everybody is as close and as far to the buyer. Yeah, the shipping time may differ, right? But again, if you have logistics well planned, you could still plan a very quick within 24 hours delivery. But that's a separate problem to solve. The first thing is the transaction. So when a consumer buys something on her smartphone or on her laptop, a company in, say, Europe, or a company in Greece, a company in China, to a company next door is just as far and just as close. So it makes it easier. Then the online differentiator is all that you have is the website or the mobile app. So you could be a $100,000 revenue company. You could be a $100 million revenue company. The $100,000 revenue company or even a $1,000 revenue startup may have a better mobile app than a $100 million revenue company. Technology is as cheap, so you could still compete with the biggest of rivals. That's what e-commerce does. So you could sell to anybody and everybody, and hence that gives a company the competitive advantage. So we are witnessing a boom of new technologies, especially in IT, telecommunications, internet, financial tech. For example, right now that I'm talking to you, if I have a business idea that, okay, I can sell something online, I can literally create an online store in less than 10 minutes. I can take my smartphone, go onto a platform like Shopify, enter my store name, select a predefined theme, and my business will be online in less than 10 minutes. Yes, it will take more time for me to add all my product designs and descriptions and payment gateway and everything. But my store, my online store, could be live on the internet for anybody to browse literally in less than 10 minutes. That cannot happen with a physical store. And my online store would be accessible to anybody in the world who has access to the internet. That's the kind of speed and competitive advantage and access that e-commerce gives to businesses and also to buyers. If I like a sneaker making company sitting in, for example, in France, and I like their designs, I could order sneakers from France. Physically, I would not have traveled to France to buy a sneaker, right? Maybe if somebody would have traveling, a friend or a family member, I would have requested that, hey, there's this sneaker shop in Paris, you know, please, once you go there, buy a pair of sneakers for me. So I would have to request someone who would travel, then come back, maybe with the wrong size. Online, I could buy it right now. That's how e-commerce has changed the way we buy and sell. So in the coming years, growth and profitability will most likely be dependent on the ability to introduce new emerging technologies and adopt new methods of business transactions. For example, right now, if you talk about what could be new, right now in the last couple of years, companies selling t-shirts, for example, are introducing technologies where as a customer, you could go on their mobile app and you could virtually put on that t-shirt and check if the design looks good on you. Right? Even Lenskart introduced that feature in India where you could actually have your face using your webcam on your laptop and you can check if a particular frame looks good on you as a person. So it's merging offline experiences with online, right? I'm more confident after my virtual face or me virtually in a laptop wears a t-shirt or a frame or shoes, and then I check if the design looks good on me as a person, and then make a purchase. Then also comes different methods of transactions, right? And making shopping available on social commerce and social apps. So technology is evolving. There are multiple use cases, and this will continue to happen. And e-commerce or online shopping will become more and more convenient, more and more secure. Now, the pandemic was a major boost. See, every problem, every challenge, and every bad phase or incident has a silver lining. Pandemic was one such for the global e-commerce industry because it changed the way people buy and shop. The pandemic induced lockdown and movement curbs marked an inflection point for e-commerce in India and globally. It pushed demand to record highs, nudging new buyers as well as sellers onto digital platforms and holding out the promise of lasting growth for players in the years to come. Not just buyers, even sellers were pushed online because the only way, with physical stores shut, people locked in their homes, not moving out because of government restrictions and because of the fear of getting infected, the only way you could sell to your buyers was online. So even sellers came online, buyers came online, and a huge new segment of market, buyers and sellers, was created because of the pandemic, both globally and in India. So there are multiple factors that will keep on promoting online transactions, technology and situations like demonetization and the pandemic will bring more and more people online, one to sell and second to buy. And that's what a transaction is all about. So the Indian e-commerce market has been one of the biggest beneficiaries of the pandemic as containment measures introduced millions to the convenience of online shopping and prompted seasoned online shoppers to buy more. So for somebody like me who was maybe only buying stuff on Amazon like electronic or maybe other items like accessories, stationery online, I moved to buying groceries online. I would not have done that had the pandemic not been there, right? But I moved towards buying groceries online and the habit has continued. Similarly, there were some people who started enrolling in online courses online because physical schools, college, and coaching institutions were shut. But since they were exposed to buying one category of service online, now they are willing to buy other services online. I moved to buying health insurance online. Till then, it was through an advisor. But now I buy it online. So pandemic, technology, payment options, and the trust, increasing trust on online sellers, all this have moved more and more people to sell online and to buy online, both globally and in India. So this is a snapshot, just a visual look at it gives you the increase of retail e-commerce sales worldwide. It's a steep growth that has happened over the last 8-9 years, and this will continue to grow. This is the annual retail e-commerce sales growth in percentage wise. So it's a decline, but it's still a healthy growth, and this will continue as we discussed over the next few years and a decade, because there is still a lot of headroom for growth. If you remember, the global e-commerce market share is only 17%. Countries like India, Vietnam, Philippines are like between 2-5%. A lot of room for growth. So today, e-commerce is an integral part of businesses because of reasons like ease of use. It's easy, it's convenient for me to buy any category of product and services online. I could compare multiple brands on my smartphone. If I had to compare multiple brands physically, it may take days depending upon the category I'm looking to buy. Then global access. As I said, I could buy a pair of sneakers from a seller in France. I could buy a software from a small startup in Estonia. Or I could buy green tea from somebody in Sri Lanka. I have global access as a buyer to sellers. I have global access to sellers as a buyer. It's both ways. Then there is great variety. And as I said, easy comparison of products. There are online sites that let me compare different models of smartphones on a single click. I can't do that physically with so much ease. I'll have to travel, look at different product samples, ask somebody to explain me. It is time consuming and hence inconvenient, especially when we as buyers are exposed to transacting and buying online. Then you have trusted payment channels, credit cards, debit cards, payment wallets, or cash on delivery, and even buy now, pay later. That's another convenient option which is now being promoted, that I buy something now and I pay later via EMIs. Then the convenience of shopping anytime, anywhere, 24/7. I could buy groceries at midnight, right? Physically, that was not possible. Stores were closed at 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. at the most. Now I can buy groceries at midnight and get them delivered at 6 in the morning tomorrow before the start of my next day. That's the convenience, that's the ease of use, and the wide variety of options available from across the globe. So why e-commerce is important from an Indian perspective? Now in its present state, the contribution of e-commerce to GDP, India's GDP, is just around 0.2%. But this is expected to grow 15 times to around 2.5% by 2030. So from almost negligible, that is 0.2%, it will grow 15x to about 2.5% contribution to the GDP of India. That's about $300 billion. This is as per a report by NASSCOM. The current market size of e-commerce is somewhere about $35 billion. And this is expected to be about $200 billion in the next 4 to 5 years. We're expecting a growth of over 1,200%. So this is the e-commerce contribution to India. It's a visual representation. As we just discussed, it's about to increase 15x and the value would be about $300 billion. So the Goldman Sachs, as per a report by Goldman Sachs, the hyper growth in affordable smartphones, improving infrastructure, which includes logistics, storage, and supply chain, and a propensity to transact online are cited as the three key growth factors. Now, we have smartphones in sub-10,000 and sub-12,000 category as well. There are smartphones which cost over a lakh of rupees. There are many smartphones in the range of, say, 50,000 to 80,000, but there are also smartphones in the sub-10,000, sub-12,000 category. There are smartphones available at 6 and 7,000 as well. And those are good enough to buy goods and services online. So now there is a hyper growth in affordable smartphones. Companies like Nokia, Oppo, MI, Vivo, they're launching affordable smartphones along with the premium manufacturers like Apple and Samsung or OnePlus. Then there's an improving infra. The road infra is improving. So companies can ship products easier from one city to another. The last mile delivery is improving thanks to delivery providers. Even India Post, for example, has been a game changer when it comes to e-commerce companies trying to ship physical products to the remotest of corners in India. And as a propensity to transact online, as I said, since people or users get exposed to buying one category online, they are more likely to buy other categories as well. So you may get introduced to online commerce because you, for the first time, are booking a train ticket because you have to travel to a different city, to example, enroll in a course. Till then, you may never have transacted online. But since you do it for the first time, you gain confidence. Since you were able to buy train tickets online, now you would look to buy food online. You would look to maybe order a credit card online, and then you would look to buy a laptop online. So one category of transaction exposes you and gives you the confidence to buy other category of goods and services as well. And as you interact with your peers, your colleagues, your friends, your uncles and your nephews and anybody in the family who have bought and who share their experience. For example, if you see your cousin wearing a brand new good design t-shirt, you may ask him or her, where did they get it from? And they bought it from a custom t-shirt printing company from, say, Pondicherry. Now, you never heard of this store earlier, but your cousin or your neighbor introduces you to this small vendor from Pondicherry, and now even you can buy online. So there are multiple factors that is giving users the confidence to buy online. Now, India's attractive demographics is another reason. We have the youngest population in the world, and this should lead to over 300 million new online shoppers in the next 15 years. So this would make e-tailing the largest online segment. So a lot of factors are together coming, they're combining together to push the sale of online goods and services in India. Now, segment as of today that could potentially catalyze domestic companies into multi-billion dollar businesses. So e-retailing, we all know, Amazon, Flipkart, Myntra, Nykaa, Snapdeal, we all know e-retailing. Then you have online travel, you have Make My Trip, you have Clear Trip, you have Yatra, you have Ease My Trip, Go Ibibo, there are so many, even Redbus, even IRCTC. The airline companies, they all put together become the online travel category in e-commerce. And then you have electronic payments. So we had net banking, we had credit card, we had debit card, but UPI has been a game changer. Mobile wallets like Paytm, PhonePe, Google Pay have been a game changer. So the options are many. People have multiple options to choose and buy and receive products and services. So all these, as I said, are catalysts put together will boost growth. And so hence, for any business, be it in the B2B space or the B2C space, it's important to be having an online presence. Even in the B2B space, for example, earlier, if you move, say, 6 or 7 years down the line in history, people would buy office accessories physically, right? They would visit a shop and maybe buy printing paper. Today, they are more likely to order online. It saves them the entire headache to move out of the office, visit a physical store, buy printing paper, get a physical invoice, and then come back to the office, give the invoice to the office accountant, and then complete the transaction. Today, they would just tell the admin in charge or the accountant that, okay, we need maybe a stock of printing paper. They go on to a site like Amazon or any other local e-commerce website. They place the order, invoice comes on email. So it's convenient. And they could really go ahead and compare prices and choose the best deal. So both B2C and B2B, people would want to move online because it's convenient, it's easy, it's affordable. So if you look at India's segment, India as a market, the growth rate, the estimated CAGR or the compound annual growth rate for India is way above all other countries. So it's like 31%, more than three times of the closest rivals, for example, like China. China is expected to keep growing at only about 10%. India, the growth rate is estimated to be 3x at about 31%. So as we all have been discussing, there's a huge headroom for India to keep growing in the online commerce or e-commerce sector. So what are the impacts of e-commerce on the Indian economy? First, financial growth and development. As more and more people buy, it increases the entire financial transactions. Sellers are able to sell to more people, sell easily. It also gives impetus to logistics and last mile delivery, payment gateways. So financial growth and development, connection to remote areas. So a company sitting in Bombay today now can cater to somebody sitting in, say, Bihar or Orissa or Kerala or the Northeast. So now companies, be anywhere, can connect to the remotest parts of the country. And then the entire growth is generating employment, direct and indirect, both. Expansion opportunities for Indian startups. They can sell to anybody in India. They can sell to anybody globally, both goods and services. And it's bringing along the next retail revolution. And increased entrepreneurship. Since people can sell easily, as I said, I could create an online store in less than 10 minutes. Or I don't even need a store. I can sell using my WhatsApp profile. I could sell using my Instagram profile. So the barriers to entry compared to me setting up a physical store, getting licenses, getting a branding done, the display, having so much of stock and inventory, the barriers to entry have been eliminated, right? I could create an online store either on a website or a mobile app or WhatsApp or Instagram in less than 10 minutes at practically no investment. And then there's FDI. There's a lot of foreign investment flowing into India because VCs and private equity investors know the kind of growth opportunity that the Indian e-commerce sector has. So this all will impact and create a growth opportunity for the overall economy in India. So what are some of the sectors that will benefit? First of all, technology, obviously, because more and more stores will go online and we will need technology to support it. For example, the website infrastructure, mobile app technologies, then logistics. If we have to ship products from one city to another, one state to another, we need logistics, right? From transportation to storage to last mile delivery. Travel is picking up because it's easier to compare travel options, book tickets, book hotels. Education has moved online. So we talk about the rise of companies like Byju's, an academy, or even White Hat Junior. So right from kids of 3 to 4 years of age to up to executives, everybody is moving and exploring online education. E-tailing is obviously there. And then you have support industries. And as we discussed about FDI, so a lot of these sectors are benefiting. See, e-commerce will touch every sector of the industry. No one is going to be left out because e-commerce is not just B2C, it's B2C, it's B2B, it's C2C. Everyone and everybody could sell online, could buy online products or services. And hence, all sectors put together will get impacted and will benefit because of the increase in the number and the volume of transactions happening online. So India, as a compelling growth market with long-term potential, will continue to attract global investment and FDI inflows. So in the last 2-3 years, Indian e-commerce sector is witnessing exponential growth. As we discussed, because of COVID-19 and more funding for Indian startups. So investments have been ranging in millions of dollars for startups in the e-commerce sector across categories, across products and services categories. Businesses are being valued for costs unimaginable and an ever-increasing competition between domestic and global champions. The e-commerce industry is touted to be at an all-time rise, and this will continue well over the next decade or two. That's the current status of the Indian e-commerce industry. And as we said, in the last couple of years, the COVID pandemic has been a silver lining for the e-commerce sector in India across all categories. The pandemic brought about a structural shift in shopping behavior and consumer behavior. More and more people went on and explored the option to browse and buy goods and services online because people stopped venturing out for a while, but they still needed to buy products and services. For example, people were sitting at home and they wanted to maybe watch movies and shows on OTT, and they had to go sign up on Netflix or Amazon Prime. That's also a form of e-commerce, right? They're selling content online. So you had to pay for those services online. So once you go online on any one kind of service, be it entertainment, be it education, be it insurance, you get used to the entire process of selecting a package, evaluating the options, the pricing, submitting your credit card or net banking details, and making a purchase. That's a learning experience. Once you do it for one category, now you are more likely to do it for other categories as well. So the pandemic-induced lockdown and restricted movement for people and goods brought about a structural shift in shopping behavior of consumers in India across the country. So the new normal of working and learning from home also fueled the demand for consumer electronic products. Consumer families in India started shopping for laptops and tablets because parents had to work, kids had to learn. So they needed more connected devices per household. And all this had to happen online because physical stores were shut. So this all put together, as I said, has been giving rise to the overall e-commerce industry in India and will continue to do so. Thank you very much.